Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back to Circles of Change here in Tucson, Arizona, where your path is created by walking on. It's always great to have our listeners enjoy our show that we focus on career and organizational change and people that are doing things that really plays to their passion. So it's a great pleasure that I have Nick Millhiser on the line from the band Holy Ghost. How are you today, Nick?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you very much. Well, I don't know if you were able to patch in, but right before you, Nick, we had your partner's father, Bruce Frankel, on the line talking about his book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? And he talked about the video that you two convinced your dads to be part of to support the release of your new song. How has that gone?
It's gone really well. People really seem to like it, which is great. And they don't seem too embarrassed by it, which is good.
Well, I know that's great. Well, we're trying to track down Alec as it is right now. He's a little missing in action in busy New York City. I think we're going to try to catch up with him so he can join in our conversation. But the two of you have been making music together since you were tots, right? When you were like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah, Alex and I met when we were, about 7 years old. We were in the second grade. And, we started making music, you know, just sort of fooling around playing music together probably shortly thereafter.
Right, right. And what instrument was it, was your thing at that point in time, or did it become?
I was always a drummer, and Alex played piano.
Okay. That's grand. And so fast forward to where we are now, your musical journey together as a team through playing, at younger ages, high school, into the college years, and then now the fanfare that's really lit up in the past 3 or 4 years for the two of you. Tell us about Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost was something that Alex and I started doing. It started really informally after another band that we were in sort of fell apart, and it was really just started as Alex and I messing around just in our studio at my house without any real grand ambitions to do anything other than we just wanted to keep working on music together.
That's great. And were you in school at the time or in other jobs while this was kind of an after hours type thing?
Yeah, we were both, I guess at that point, Alex was at college upstate in New York. I think I was still taking some time off from school. I was playing in another band and touring a lot. We were both just sort of doing other stuff. That was probably, I guess we sort of started messing around with this stuff maybe 5 years ago.
Right, so that would be, okay. So that's like 2005, 2006. And for those who of you who've just tuned in, I've had the opportunity to catch up with Nick Millhiser, who's with the band Holy Ghost, and his partner, Alex Frankel. And the music that you two have come to lock in on is both lyrical and voices, but also a lot with the new age instrumental and electronic area. So are you two really technologists at heart as well?
Actually, no. I mean, the way Alex and I work and the instruments that we use are actually all pretty, dated and antiquated technology from the 70s and 80s. If anything, we are pretty technically inept.
Oh, I love
it. As far as the latest technology is concerned.
That's great.
Really, try to use the computer and whatnot as little as humanly possible.
Possible. Well, great. Nick, indeed, I welcome on the line now Alex Frankel. How are you today, Alex, in New York City?
Good. How are you? Sorry I'm late to this conversation.
No problem. I just started out our discussion with Nick, and of course, right before you, we had your dad explaining in all vulnerability his debut as the visual star of your latest music video. So that was a great tee up for the two of you.
Good. How was that?
It was great. I was just asking Nick this question about, your music is a blend of conventional musical tunes and the like, but also a heavy reliance of some synthesized music. And I just asked if you two are also real technology, technocrats. And he said, no, actually not. So I'm wondering if that actually makes your use of the technology then all that more relevant, I'll say, and not overdone.
I don't know. I mean, we're a bit of Luddites. At least I am. But I think Nick actually is probably downplaying his technical ability. Nick is actually quite into the synthesizers we use are not complicated, but they do take a certain discipline to learn. And I guess we are quite into understanding the old synthesizers and how they work, and Nick actually knows how to build them and stuff now.
See, now, Nick, you were holding out on us then.
I'm going to call Nick out, yeah. Nick's lying.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm somewhat technically savvy in a totally antiquated sense. I have prowess in an area that, you know, is totally irrelevant. You know, I would have gotten a lot of work maybe 20 years ago, but now it's...
But now you can't second guess yourself, because actually if you're relying on it, you know, it's like when we talk to photographers who they've got all these digital toys in front of them, but sometimes going back to that very first camera that they had with using this thing called film comes out with some of their best work. So it sounds like the two of you, you're relying upon abilities that maybe are dated but or viewed as retro, but it comes back in a very new way.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's great. We definitely sort of are of the mind that, you know, a lot of the digital stuff just doesn't sound as good or produce the same result as just the original, simpler analog stuff.
That's right. Well, Alec, you didn't hear the session with your dad, but he mentioned that the video, as you folks have just released into YouTube and other venues to support your recently released album, Wait and See, that someone blogged from England claiming it should be the song dedicated to the royal wedding from yesterday. That is really a hoot, isn't it?
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah. Somehow I doubt that's on their radar, but yeah.
Well, the idea, though, the two of you, I mean, the road to stardom, we'll say, in rock and roll, I can't imagine, is a linear path for anyone. So to see the two of you taking these steps, maybe one to the left, two to the right, when was it, or how is it evolving for you two that you're saying, wow, this really happening? Is this a feeling that you're being pulled really fast now at this point, or are you still kind of in the ebb and flow?
No, we're in the ebb and flow. But I don't really know anyone, even some of our friends that are much more successful than we are, who maybe are viewed as rock stars or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're not, I don't think, I think that feeling doesn't really exist anymore in music, in the music industry so much. I mean, maybe there are moments when you're on stage or something like that, but it's just a lot of hard work. And Nick and I have been working together, on music since we were 14 or 15, and this band, it's been 4 years, and it's just kind of a day-to-day grind. And it was fun, actually, making the video with our parents, actually. I think they didn't know how much work went into stupid things like music videos and stuff, and getting them out there to see how much it takes and how much really, you know, there is no more, no one hands you a big check and says, son, you made it. That doesn't happen anymore. So there's, you know, it's really up to you, and it really comes down to, we're definitely in the ebb and flow. We're continuing to work every day, and yeah.
So where are those glimmers of hope, though? I know you two had quite a sellout crowd last evening, I understand. So that's got to be things that validate you along the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would be happy. I mean, when we've always had low expectations, and that's a good suggestion for any band starting out. Is, well, our first our big hope in the beginning was to put out one 12-inch, a vinyl single with the record label that we adored and were admired. And when that happened, that was, you know, wow, I can't believe that happened. There was a celebration, there was a release party for that, and I remember that night saying, okay, I can die happy now.
And what song? And then, which song was that, by the way?
That was for Hold On, which
Hold
was
on, right.
On our record, and came out in, first was released at the end of 2007, actually. It's a single, standalone single. And then I remember being in Bowery Ballroom in New York City, which is the venue here, and saying, wow, if we could play here, that would be enough for me. And we did that, and on my birthday, and I was like, okay, that's enough. And then last night was really good. So I think it's there along the way, there are these little moments that are like, okay, this is okay. But then there's 2 months of really hard work, kind of grueling. Everyone looks horrible, and people age twice as fast as they should. And, you know, you eat awful food and you don't see your friends and your parents start to hate you because you don't call them anymore. But then, you know, you have a really good show and it kind of makes up for it.
Well, the so you did hold on in 2007. Then you said, like you said, the venue for your birthday party, Alex Nick. Then here we are now in April, though, with your first full-length album, 10 songs.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, it's your path is created by your walking on it or surviving it, however you wanted to characterize it. tell us about your 10-song LP now.
Well, the record is something we've been working on sort of more or less since we did Hold On. However, Alex and I, right after the release of that song, started touring quite extensively right away, as well as started doing remixes for other artists and stuff. So it was a long process of sort of working on and off on the record when we weren't doing other stuff. And simultaneously, I guess, kind of just figuring out what we wanted the record to be. And then, yeah, so here we are three years later, and we have, you know, a record of songs that we're really proud of. And, it's really exciting to have it finally done and out in the world.
That's right. Alex, tell us about the reaction so far to your album, Holy Ghost.
It's been good, I guess. There's been no hate mail, I guess, as far as, I don't know, I read a little bit of what people write about it and stuff like that on the web or whatever, but it seems okay, people seem okay with it, our friends seem like they, you know, no one's embarrassed of us, our friends still say hi to us on the street and stuff, and that's kind of where we're at, but, you know, I guess the only way I can really judge the reaction beyond like a few reviews or whatever is the shows, which is you know, which is really what it's more and more all about for us, is playing the songs live, and they certainly have gotten much better. You know, just 6 months ago we were playing, or even 3 months ago rather, we were playing and no one knew the lyrics to the songs
at all, and now they're singing along.
Now they're singing along, that's us, is, I guess that's the biggest way I can judge the reaction, is that people, there are a few songs, you know, every show we play, or every 10 shows, that, oh wow, now this song people are starting to know. And, I mean, New York, we're kind of, last night was a biased crowd. It was kind of stocked with friends
and
family. But, you know, certainly, you know, they knew the words and they knew the songs to probably the whole album. So that was really good, and so I guess at least on a local level the reaction is good.
What's your view of that, Nick? What kind of reactions are you feeling from people? You share that same observation as Alan?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in a way, I think that's been the most exciting and gratifying part about releasing the record, is just suddenly feeling a tangible reaction from the crowd when you play live. You know, Alex and I have been touring with the band for a year leading up to the release of the record, and you know, while there were certainly more good shows than bad shows, we had only released so much music, so it could sometimes the shows could just feel like we were really having to work to get people into it because they didn't know the songs.
Exactly.
And the second the record was released, I mean, it was really overnight. The shows just got instantly better, just because suddenly you're playing material that people know, and by virtue of the fact that they're there, they seem to like. So.
That's very, very nice. Well, I'd like to read a quote, Nick, that actually someone picked up on for you, and it said, "At the end of the day, Holy Ghost, we're making music that's beyond passing trends, that gets to the very heart of why we love music, that touches our most simple, direct, inborn reactions to sound." And then, Nick, you said, "I'm trying to make music that makes me as unabashedly giddy as music made me when I was a kid." And so does that mean the lyrics, the music together, the reaction with the crowd? I mean, do you two, you know, when you're in your moments together, really trajectory yourself back like an autobiography experience back to those teen years together?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I think Alex and I were definitely, I mean, it definitely has a lot to do with sounds and stuff. I think that sounds, I mean, the music we make is not, you know, as far as songwriting and chord mm-hmm. structure and melodically, you know, let's be realistic, the most complex music in the world. And I think a lot of the records that Alex and I grew up on and that we really liked sort of existed in this world, as in the same sort of world, you know. Mm-hmm. They're not the most complicated pieces of music, but they had this really interesting production. So
and who were some of those artists, Alex, and songs that you were that caught your fancy back then?
Well, to begin with, it was rap music, really.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know if that's exactly what he was talking about, but in our teen years, and I think when we really bonded over music was on rap music that came out of New York in the late 90s, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, and Common. There was a little scene in New York, basically, in the late 90s, and Jay-Z, and of course Biggie, and stuff like that, all the New York hip-hop all-stars. And we... I think that Nick was getting at with that stuff too. I think it applies. It's not complex music. You know, our parents weren't totally wrong when they said, "I don't understand this. It's very simple and boring and stupid and repetitive." And it was, but to us, what we were interested in was how good the drums sounded, and mm-hmm. You know, how good the bass sounded, and how crisp it sounded, and how repetitive it was, and what that, you know, before we got into dance music, we were into hip hop, and that was the repetition there and the simplicity of it, really, I think is what attracted us to that. And I think it's something that we still try to do.
That's great. Well, so let me have you tell me the other side of the story, Alec, in the segment before you. Your dad explained how you came to him and talked about, Tim, your dad, right, Nick, as well as Bruce, featured in this video. What prompted the two of you to launch that idea to have them actually be, you know, the older versions of you, who knows, at some point in your video?
Well, okay, so for a long time, Nick and I were joking about... you know, Nick and I have known each other since we were 6 and 7 years old, so
right.
Therefore we've known each other parents.
Time as well.
We were 6 and 7 years old, and, you know, with all due respect to them, we've always kind of, you know, joked about them and laughed at them. Oh, Bruce, oh, Tim, you know, the silly habits that they have, you know, you wouldn't believe what my dad said today.
Mm-hmm.
I think like most kids, and we also have always said that, you know, they're very good-looking men, they have very distinct personalities, and we thought, you know, they are actually, in some ways, would be better to do press than we would. They're more articulate, they're better-looking, they're not late, they don't drink, that became a running joke that they should take our press photos and they should do our press and they should do, they would be a better face to the band than us.
Okay.
They would represent our, and eventually when we went, we were looking to do a video, to the song Wait and See, we knew that would be the single, and we didn't really have any ideas, and our good friend Ben, we've also been since we were 6 or 7 years old, he kind of was part of that joking school about our fathers, and he came up with the idea, like, actually, instead of just doing press photos, why don't we actually have them play you in a video? And immediately Nick and I were like, oh yeah, that's a very, very, very good idea. Very hard to pull off, but a very good idea. And that was, we kind of, it's all really Ben deserves pretty much 100% of the credit for pulling it off. All we did was kind of usher them around that day, but that well, made it work in a way that wasn't embarrassing.
Now, Nick, did you... Oh, I like that. That wasn't embarrassing. Nick, did you have to convince your dad?
No, not at all. I mean, I think both our dads were pretty gung-ho from the beginning, which was great. They were very easy to work with, and I think they had a lot of fun.
Well, I've got to tell you something. I bet you 10, 15, 20 years from now, the four of you will look back on that shared experience to create that video, let alone, you know, the fun that it manifests for you. And the support it is, I suspect, although it's just come out, really, for people who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Alex Frankel and Nick Millhiser from the band Holy Ghost. And the best way to find the video, guys, what should they put out on Google, or where would they look for it to see it?
It's just up on YouTube, yeah. Holy Ghost, Wait and See.
Holy Ghost, Wait and See, and you can see Bruce.
Video. I would put video
in there as well to pick up on the song. So what's on the docket for the two of you next? Have you thought that far yet, or are you just enjoying where you are right now?
Oh, to be honest, I just woke up.
Okay.
But, we're going to Princeton tonight to DJ. We've never actually... Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we've ever DJed or played live or done anything at a college, which is strange for an emerging band.
Yes,
but
exactly.
We're going to a college tonight, to Princeton, to DJ. Who knows what that'll be like. And then we have a week off, which we haven't had in about, a long time. And then after the week off, we go to Europe for 3 weeks to tour live there. And then we come back and take a little break, tour again in the U.S. So it's pretty much just about playing live now, and that's it, the foreseeable future.
That's great. And Nick, between the two of you, have you had people you haven't heard from in a long time suddenly pop back on your radar screen?
Not really for me, at least, but that's because I'm one of the last people in the world who doesn't have a Facebook account. So
I'm with you, Nick. We're birds of a feather there.
Okay, great. Well, yeah. No emerging weirdos from my past. No.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I can't thank the two.
I have a bunch.
Yeah, you've got it. Well, thank you very much, and great to have had the two of you on the show here today. Again, for our listeners, the band is Holy Ghost, the two leaders, longtime partners in the music crime, and new things coming are Alex Frankel and Nick Millhiser. Thanks so much for joining us here today. Go to YouTube, folks, and type in Wait and See Holy Ghost video, and you can catch up with what we had the joy of talking about today. Have a great afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right,
great.
You too,
take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.